Have you ever had someone refer to something going on in the community who asked you, what's going on there? What's the story with all that? The right answer lies with the people directly involved in it, the people who know. Why not hear their story? So welcome to What's the Story, Pekin? I'm Gary Gillis, your host, and I hope you enjoy this Pekin podcast. My guest today, back by open invitation, is Jared Olar. Our local resident historian, who is going to continue the saga of how Pekin grew. We had the first podcast in the chronological order of how Pekin began, but today we're going to talk about the time when Pekin was only a town. And so, Jared, welcome back.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be back.
So, take us back in time to as a follow-up to our last podcast.
And, sure.
Where we stood then and what happened next.
Yeah, I went ahead and told a little bit about what was going on and getting Pekin started and settlers coming in and living alongside the native peoples who were here, who was here when they arrived, and telling the story of Jonathan Tharp and Nathan Cromwell and the rival ideas of which town should be built here, whether it's going to be Pekin or whether it's going to be Cincinnati, and Pekin won out. So we, you know, that was a really big year in Pekin's history. Our first official year of getting us on the map is 1830. We were officially named on January 19th, 1830. Mm-hmm. And the lots in the town began to be auctioned off in March of 1830. So we've got settlers starting to come in, and we got a nice little pioneer village getting going. And to make something a bit more permanent, though, than just having a platted town, an unincorporated platted town, as nice as the pioneer town is being able to get some form of official government beyond something at the township level or the county level. And so a lot of the settlers in the town were thinking, we need to make sure that we're here to stay. And so naturally, we want to go and see if we can get ourselves a charter as an incorporated town under the laws of the state of Illinois. So it was in 1835 when they're thinking about doing that. Now, some of you may know the story about how this is just 1 year after the Asiatic cholera had hit Pekin. And so Pekin was, in fact, in danger of... as happened to many small pioneer towns, where when a cholera epidemic hits, sometimes the town doesn't bounce back from it. Well, Pekin did bounce back from it, and I think that might have been part of the impetus for wanting to become an incorporated town, saying that we're going to make ourselves permanent by becoming incorporated. We'll have our own town government. We'll be able to elect our own town board with a board president to run our own affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so... they went ahead and got everything together to verify with the state of Illinois that we have enough people here. You need to have several hundred people to become a town. Then you need to have a vote. And William Henry Bates is Pekin's pioneer historian. He tells us a lot of the story of Pekin's earliest days. He had access to a lot of the old town records, and he put them right into his very first formal history of Pekin that was ever written. He compiled that in 1870, so just 40 years after Pekin's founding. And he just quoted from a lot of the minutes from Pekin when Pekin was a town. And he tells us the story about how they had their vote. So it was in July of 1835, and he gives William Henry Bates gives this account of how they did the vote and how they established themselves as an official incorporated town. July 9th, 1835 is when he starts the story. Agreeable to notice given according to law in the courthouse in the town of Pekin, Tazewell County, Illinois, for the purpose of electing five resident freeholders of the town of Pekin as trustees of the same, who shall hold their office for 1 year and until others are chosen and qualified. Now, that's a very interesting thing. This is a quote from what Bates put in his history, and he's just quoting verbatim from this official document that was posted saying that we're going to have an election of trustees. So, if on July 9th, 1835, we're going to elect five residents of Pekin to serve on a town board, well, we must be a town by then. Well, this, the weird thing about this thing, though, is that Bates doesn't actually tell us about the election. Well, when did the election take place? What happened? And what was the vote? Well, the vote obviously was in favor of becoming a town. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the legal right to elect a town board. And, of course, I like this little reference as well here. It says, you know, this is posted, the notice is given in the courthouse. The courthouse of the county, of Tazewell County in 1835, was in Pekin. It was a simple building in the old downtown area. Originally, the county seat was Mackinac, but in 1830, soon after Pekin was founded, the folks in the county officials decided, we don't like having to take our horseback out on these Indian trails out to this place, which was kind of a swampy place called Mackinac, hard to reach. It's easier for us to do our official county business right here in Pekin, sure, which is right on the Illinois River. So they got permission from the state of Illinois to move the county seat temporarily to Pekin. But then the General Assembly said, well, we're appointing a committee to fix the county seat permanently. So Pekin knew that they weren't going to necessarily be the permanent county seat, but this, at this time, we were functioning at the, sure, as a county seat. So anyway, we've got Pekin as a town. They're going to have an election. But when I looked at that, I was wondering, well, why is Bates not telling us the actual date of the election and the outcome of the election? Because he's so detailed in everything else. And by chance, during 2018, when Illinois was celebrating its bicentennial, and I was going through and reciting Illinois' history from the History Room blog, and then narrowing it down to our local area to show what was going on here during those early years, I happened upon something that kind of amused me and delighted me, because it is something from the state of Illinois General Assembly. Its file is published in a collection of Illinois statutes called the Incorporation Laws of the State of Illinois, 1836-1837, on pages 3 and 4 of that book. And the wording of the act is very interesting. I'll just go ahead and read the act, because it's going to explain a lot of interesting things about perhaps why Bates didn't say anything about the date of when we became a town. Here's the act. An act to legalize the incorporation of Pekin. Whereas it has been represented to the General Assembly that the citizens of the town of Pekin in the county of Tazewell did, on the second day of July, Anno Domini, 1835, meet and determine by vote that they would become incorporated according to the provision of an act entitled An Act to Incorporate Such Towns as May Wish to Be Incorporated, approved March 1, 1831, and whereas, by accident or mistake, the certified statement of the polls of said meeting was lost, and have not been filed and recorded in the clerk's office of the county commissioner's court in said county, as the said act directs. Therefore, be it enacted by the people of the state of Illinois, represented in the General Assembly, that the said town of Pekin shall not be considered illegally incorporated.
Wow.
So, this act is very important, because it tells us the date when the election took place. July 9th, 1835, is when we're going to be having the notice of our election of our town board. Well, it turns out that was exactly 1 week after the election, the vote that we had to incorporate as a town. Hmm. But we had a little bit of a bureaucratic snafu here. Somebody messed up. We don't know who. We don't know why or what, but we know that they were supposed to record the results of the vote. and they didn't.
Shows that some things with government just never have changed. Yeah.
So this little bureaucratic snafu, and somehow it was discovered. Somebody found out and probably made a stink about it. At one of the town board meetings, there was probably some citizen standing up and saying, "You have no right to even be meeting. You are an illegally incorporated board. Yeah. You didn't follow the law when you voted to incorporate. There's no town of Pekin. What are you talking about?" I can only imagine something like that must have happened. Because we don't have the record.
Yeah.
All we have is we know that they took a vote on July 2nd, 1835, and we know that in January of 1837 is when this act is enacted by the General Assembly. And guess what the date is for this act in January of 1837?
So January 19th.
January 19th.
19th. Yep.
They chose January 19th. So this is Pekin's birthday again showing up.
And that's why we had the State of the City address. We chose that date
because exactly.
It had historic significance in more than one time. It's funny you mention that, Jared, because I know when the Pekin Park District was first formed, you know, they had a bond issue, a $40,000 bond issue, which they were going to purchase what we now cherish as Mineral Springs Park. And they had to rescind the issue and redo it because they had it a vote of the trustees. And they weren't trustees. They were commissioners. So they had to do it all over again. Mm-hmm. So it shows you
something
even,
like that.
Over 200 years is a recurring thing.
I don't remember the details, but even the establishment of the high school district had to be done over.
Yeah.
There were lawsuits over that.
Sure.
Back when District 303 was being broken off from the original Pekin School District.
Yeah. Yeah. Only in government.
Jeez. So, yeah. These things happen, but of course, we wanted to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the General Assembly very kindly did was they passed this act to legalize, and then after the fact, retroactively legalizing all the acts of the town board of Pekin going back to July 9th.
Oh.
And so so everything that was being done, and back in those early days, of course, when Pekin became a town, they had their town board, and they would have elections once a year. So every year we'd get a new board, possibly. Mm-hmm. The original town president was a gentleman of the name of Joshua Carmen Morgan, Joshua C. Morgan. He had lost his wife in the cholera epidemic in the summer of 1834. So he was now without a wife. I believe he later remarried, he becomes Pekin's first town president, which is the town equivalent of a mayor.
Okay.
And he later serves on the board several more times, becomes town president several more times after that. Later on, he moves away from Pekin, he's buried elsewhere. But he's one of the notable names of Pekin when we were, like I said, just being a town in those days. And we stayed a town from 1835, or officially, technically 1837, but like I said, it was made retroactive. We'll say 1835, right up until 1849. And at some point in the future, we can tell the story of Pekin becoming an incorporated city. But first, the time of Pekin becoming a town, and that kind of funny. I'm a historian. These kinds of things entertain me. I don't know if anybody else may find it entertaining, but when I read that, I just started laughing. And so when I wrote about it, I called it Revisiting Pekin Incorporated. Pekin's first incorporation needed a do-over, which it got. And the General Assembly understood that there was no crime was intended to be committed here. There was they understood that our heart was in the right place. We were trying to get things going, and we did. And that established us on a permanent basis, and we became self-governing that way, and were able to continue to grow throughout the rest of the 1830s mm-hmm. and the 1840s.
Great story. And in, for clarification, as we picture this, when you keep mentioning General Assembly, we figured this old-time gathering in Springfield, and actually it wasn't in Springfield yet. It would have been in, what, Kaskaskia or something?
Well, originally Kaskaskia.
Right.
And then it was Vandalia.
Vandalia,
for much of these years, right. It was Vandalia. Yep. And then it got moved to Springfield by around this time that Pekin becomes a
sure.
town. I'll have to refresh my memory on when the state capital was moved. Now, when they were getting ready to move the state capital from Vandalia to Springfield, this is, again, during the same period when Pekin is a town, Pekin and a lot of other communities were getting very hopeful that they might be able to secure the state capital. Mm. And if you ever look at our maps, you'll find that we've got a state street at a capital street. And look at where they intersect on the map. And look at some of the old plats of the town of Pekin and some of the old atlases from the 1800s. Mm. You'll find that we have something called State Square. It's where we later built a public school. And then that would then... A few years ago, that old school got torn down after it had been run by the as the Lutheran
right.
Parochial parish school, and then they built something new on that spot. But that mm-hmm. area right there, where there's a Methodist church adjacent to it, and there used to be a school on that area.
Wow.
Because it had originally been set aside specifically, it was reserved for where we were going to build the state capitol building when we became the capital of Illinois.
Wow. I did not know that. So that's a great story. Well, Jared, thanks for sharing that. I know that's just a small amount of the knowledge you have about our past, and we're looking forward to hearing more in future podcasts. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you again for having me. Look great. Forward to next time.
Great. Me too. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I want to thank those who make this effort possible, the Pekin Area Chamber of Commerce, our sound guy and recording expert, Mike Eaton, the Pekin Public Library for providing us a place to host and record, and to our many guests who add to the archives of What's the Story Pekin. Please be sure to share your thoughts by emailing us at pekinpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to rate us on whatever platform you listen to, and stay tuned for more podcasts to come.